live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 16th day of February 2026. First of all, let me extend a really heartfelt thanks to the hundreds of you out there who sent in your birthday greetings to me over the weekend, and then some of them are still arriving. That means a lot to me to hear from you and to receive those warm wishes from you. Today we have a first-time guest. I'm looking forward to interviewing. Her name is Andrea Schwartz, and she is family and Christian education advocate at the Chalcedon Foundation, where she has been working for 40 years and where she leads the Chalcedon Teacher Training Institute. She's the author of 8 books and co-host of the Out of the Question podcast. Today we're going to be addressing, is our method of Christian education adequately raising up the leaders of our future? It's my honor and privilege to welcome you to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the very first time, Andrea Schwartz.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I appreciate it.
Tell our listeners who may be unfamiliar with the Chalcedon Foundation exactly what that organization is.
Certainly. Chalcedon was begun in 1965 by R.J. Rush Dooney, and the purpose of it was to produce self-governing Christians. In that, what was emphasized was that everybody needs to be a good theologian. You don't rely on other people to tell you what God's word says. You might get help with it. But Rush Dooney was very eager in people understanding that God's law was something that we must follow. And as a result of that, he focused early on the need for Christian education for children, and Christian education for adults who grew up not getting a Christian education.
And tell us specifically about your work there with the Teacher Training Institute.
All right. So way back, it seems way back now, when I first was converted, I was looking for something that said, okay, how do we do what God wants us to do? And through a friend, I started reading some of the material that Rush Dooney wrote. And then I found out he was still alive and didn't live that far from us. And so we sort of invaded his area. And he never quite was able to get rid of us. I don't think he really wanted to get rid of us, but my husband and I found exactly what we had been looking for in a lot of the other things we had tried or looked for in our past. And I had the honor and privilege of being mentored by him and his wife for the 15 years from the time I met him till he went to his reward. And I also started as a volunteer, typing his manuscripts, typesetting them. And so I'm very, very familiar with his work. And as a result of that, I started teaching other women the sort of things that I learned along the way. And so as I told my husband when I was running out of children to homeschool, what now? And so we came up with teaching other women who were homeschooling or helping them understand homeschooling so that they would become educated and become good theologians so they could be the best teachers for their children.
Amen. Well, if anybody wants to find out more about the Chalcedon Foundation, you can go to their website, chalcedon.edu. And that's Chalcedon, spelled Chalcedon.edu. And you can find out a lot about this organization there. And you can even type in Andrea Schwartz in the search engine and find out more about Andrea specifically there. Also, if you missed my my interview that was not that long ago with the current president of the Chalcedon Foundation, Mark Rushdooney, the son of R.J. Rushdooney, the founder of this program, just go to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio website, ironsharpensironradio.com. That's, of course, sometime after this live program, ironsharpensironradio.com, and type in Rushdooney in the search engine, and you will find my interview with Mark Rushdooney, which was basically focusing upon his biography of his father. And I had a wonderful time interviewing Mark and learning more about his dad. I had known his father for decades. In fact, he was a client of mine on WMCA Radio, one of the stations that is an affiliate of the world's largest Christian radio network, Salem Communications. I worked for the New York affiliate, WMCA. And back in the 1990s, I created a program called The Voice of Sovereign Grace. And that featured five different hosts, one per evening, Monday through Friday. And one of those nights hosting the program was Dr. R.J. Rushdooney, who hosted the program with the late Steve Schlissel. And they had an interview-style program on The Voice of Sovereign Grace. But I've also benefited greatly over the years from Dr. Rushdooney's writings. And it was interesting, as I had brought up to Mark, I used to mail R.J. Rushdooney books that I really enjoyed. And he wrote positive reviews of those books about 99% of the time. And it also showed the eclectic nature of his interests. He was not isolated in some kind of a theonomic monastery where he only would give credence to those who agreed with him on everything. He would write very glowing reviews of books by men who may have had many different opinions to Dr. Rushdooney, but whatever they wrote upon that he specifically enjoyed was something that they obviously agreed upon. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. And our interview, my interview with Mark Rushdooney, was on December 5th of last year. So you could look that up, my interview with Mark R. Rushdooney on Russus John Rushdooney, A Brief History of the Life and Ministry of My Father. But we have a tradition here, Andrea, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we ask that guest to give a summary of his or her salvation testimony, where they talk about the religious atmosphere, if any, in which they were raised and the kinds of providential circumstances that our Lord rose up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. So we would love to hear your story.
Well, thanks for asking. It's always good to, you know, go through it again yourself. So I was raised on the East Coast in New York City. We're just outside New York City.
Huh.
And I was, yeah, so not too far. And I remember WMCA, by the way, except it was a music radio station when I was growing up.
Yeah, it went through a number of different transitions, and it goes back all the way to the 1920s. And Rudy Valley was actually an on-staff musician. And at one time, they were the number one rock station in New York City, the Good Guys.
Yep, that's what I remember, calling in, getting your records played and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Okay. Well, so I was raised in a Catholic family. My parents were told when they were getting their premarital counseling that if they didn't send their children to Catholic school, they would go to hell. And so neither one of them particularly wanted to go to hell. And so I did 13 years of Catholic school. And I can tell you that a couple of things. One, I got an excellent education, and I always attribute the fact that I could homeschool my children because my education was very good in Catholic schools. However, I remember distinctly hearing almost nothing about the Protestant Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther was the bad guy. I remember that. But I don't even remember hearing about people like Wycliffe or John Calvin or John Huss. They just sort of didn't make it into the history books. So when I graduated from high school, at that point, I can say I pretty much had abandoned the Catholic Church. And from my point of view, there was nothing else to investigate because I hadn't really heard about anything else. And so I went to college, and which is not atypical. A lot of the things that I was raised in, standards and such, kind of went by the wayside. And ultimately, I got involved with Scientology, and I spent a number of years. Yep. That's how it came about.
Were you actually a member of the Church of Scientology?
Yes, I was. Well, I was on staff there.
Yeah, wow.
I actually met my husband there. And so.
Wow. Well, you've got to come back. You've got to come back for another interview on that.
Okay.
What
I have to talk about today is probably more interesting than that.
But still, I mean, that's a fascinating subject.
Yes, it is. So through various and sundry ways, which if we come back and talk about this, I can go through. My husband and I began to see that Scientology was not what was satisfying the need we have. I now tell people, I think everybody has a Jesus hole that needs to be filled. And a lot of us spend a lot of time filling it with other things that don't satisfy. But I had been associated with believers, and I picked up a Bible. But I can honestly say it wasn't exactly making a lot of sense until what happens to a lot of people. They hit a point in their life where things crash and you're lost, and you really now know you're lost. And so having been around other believers, I knew that they said that when you surrender your life to Christ, that he hears you and he responds. Now, having gone to 13 years of Catholic school, I knew a lot about the Bible. I knew all the Bible stories and such, but it never was personal to me. And so we became believers, and still there was this sense of, how do you do this? You know, the Bible kept saying to be righteous. So my question was, how do you do it? How do you know if you're being righteous? And a friend introduced us to the writings of R.J. Rushdoony. And so then we basically started reading and learning. And that's when it all started to make sense to me. The yearnings that I had as a child, the things that I thought I wanted to do. At first, I thought I wanted to be a nurse. And then I thought I wanted to be some sort of counselor. Well, I realized that there's the ability to care for those around you to the degree that you understand what God says is right and wrong. And so we met Rushdoony, and we just kept coming back. And after a while, I just thought, like, it's probably time to share what I know. And that's how I started teaching.
Okay, praise God. Well, we're obviously focusing our time together today on education, and especially in regard to raising children, training them up to be the leaders of our future in every realm where you would find leaders. And first of all, before we get to that point, what are your preferred models of education? Because there are differences out there. I have a lot of friends in the classical Christian education movement, and we have those that I've had those who represent other models that are outside of that paradigm. But tell us about your own thoughts on this.
Okay, so basically, and I mentioned earlier that I had a good education, and by that I mean I learned my reading, my writing, and my arithmetic. But what I didn't come out of that education with was a sense of why I was created and what my duty, what my responsibility was to God. And I think that must be the foundation of education, because without it, how do you know if you're, like, for example, without an education of the Bible, how do you know if you're worshiping the God of the Bible? If you don't know what the Bible says, you really don't have a standard by which to judge I'm doing okay and I'm not. And I certainly didn't have that standard. And a good portion of my life was doing things that were not in line with what God said to do. So I think that has to be a foundation. And along with that foundation, Chris, has to be a vision. And that vision must be, how do we effectively change the culture to reflect what God has told us to do? The Great Commission is a very real thing to me. So we're supposed to go out and disciple people and teach them so that they can become disciples and teach other disciples. And then it will sort of grow logarithmically, if you might say.
And I know from your bio that you spent many years as a not only a wife but a mother homeschooling your children.
Yes.
Now tell
because,
us.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually wanted to homeschool even before I became a Christian. I saw a man who turns out wasn't a Christian at all on a talk program, and I thought, wow, that would be so cool. I would really like to do that, because my son was getting older, and I wasn't really looking forward to having him to go to school, actually. I liked being around him. And I remember I told my husband I was going to do it, and he just thought, well, she's going to suffer from separation anxiety. But he said, okay, you can go ahead and do this. But when he's ready for real school, we'll talk about it again. Well, he said, and I believe it's true, when he would come home from work and he would see the sort of things that my son and I were doing, he basically caught the idea that said, yes, this is a good way to do it. And then when we meet Dr. Rush Dooney and find out that he's considered the father of the homeschool movement, I remember telling my husband, guess what? We're accidentally doing the right thing. Well, now I know we weren't accidentally doing anything. We were providentially being led to what God wanted us to do. And so between my oldest and my youngest, there's a span of 14 years. So I spent the better part of 28 years homeschooling children.
And why do you believe that that is a superior model to sending your kids, especially out to government schools?
Well, God gives specific children to specific parents, and the responsibility of education is vested with the parents. We don't own our children, but we're to steward their lives. So one of the things that mothers especially know is they know the personality and temperament of their children, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But they love them anyway, you know, even with the children that can be problematic at times or ornery or picky or whatever it is. You send that same child off to another school, and this is true whether it's Christian school or a state school, and they're usually going to be in a classroom with everybody about the same age as they are, and the teacher in a good school might have 15 students, but as many as 30. I submit nobody loves your child the way you do. And so what you know is okay, he has a weakness. He doesn't tell the truth all the time. Teacher doesn't know that. That teacher's just like, oh, he seems so nice and everything else. So the whole character development is basically being given to someone who doesn't know your child very well. And then in terms of transmitting values, and I don't really have to talk about this to most people with state schools. Now, who would have thought that children would go to school and then be confused as to whether or not they're a boy or a girl? And a lot of people want to homeschool because they want to get away from the bad stuff. And I think it's legitimate. You should want to get away from the bad stuff. But true education is imparting to them that you were created in the image of God and he has a purpose for your life. And together, we're going to figure out what that is and how you can best serve God. And so, as I said earlier, the parents need to have a vision and a mission statement to know, are we doing this so that at some point we can turn them over to humanist college? I hope not. And unfortunately, a lot of people know that as soon as that happens, the students are bombarded with professors who just want to destroy their faith and rip them apart. And I experienced that when my own children ended up going to status education for college.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break. And if anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Andrea Schwartz after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired Word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LynbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Andrea Schwartz, family and Christian education advocate at the Chalcedon Foundation. And we are addressing, is our method of Christian education adequately raising up the leaders of our future? If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Before we go back into our conversation on Christian education, I forgot to have you explain in more detail the Out of the Question podcast. Tell us about that.
All right. Thanks for asking me about that. So I've done podcasting for a while. I've done previous podcasts to that one. But one of the things I noticed, Chris, is that oftentimes in looking at modern affairs, things that are going on in the world, Christians weren't asking the right question. So I got the idea, let's talk about what they really want to know. What's the question behind the question? Sometimes in a world that gets very politically correct, we're not allowed to just come out and ask questions. Well, my co-host and I, Pastor Charles Roberts from South Carolina, we tackle those questions. Oftentimes people will send in, would you please discuss this? Or either one of us are reading what's going on in the world. And we say, okay, what's the biblical perspective on that? So back in 2018, that's when I had the idea. And we have been going strong for all these years. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we just posted our 375th episode.
Wow. Now tell us about Pastor Charles Roberts.
Well, he's also a student of R.J. Rush Jr. He pastors a church in South Carolina, Reedy River Presbyterian Church. And he is an articulate and well-read person. And we get along well, although we have never actually met each other in person, but we've spent a lot of years together discussing the faith and helping people get a sense of really what God's calling us to do.
And how do our listeners begin to listen to Out of the Question podcast?
Well, it's on all the podcast platforms. And interestingly enough, I don't even post them there. Other people do. But you can go to chalcedon.edu and usually every Monday there's a new episode. And so it'll usually appear on the homepage. But if you just put it into a search engine and put our name or Chalcedon's name with it, you'll get a whole slew of them. Like I said, there have been 375 of them.
Wow. Well, going back to our theme of Christian education and training up the leaders of our future, going back to an original question I asked you, do you have a high regard for the classical Christian education movement? Do you have differences of opinion with that paradigm? Tell us about, you know, your thoughts on that.
Well, like anything else, the grounding needs to be in Scripture. And a lot of the classical education curriculum that's out there and schools that I have seen implemented spend an awful lot of time with the Greeks, like Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato, none of whom were believers, none of whom were obeying God in their day-to-day life. And a lot of parents who aren't familiar with any of that think, oh, well, my children will get a very good academic education. And they might get a good academic education. But I remember one time I was substituting at a classical Christian school, and I asked the students if they could tell me the Ten Commandments. Well, they were very good at Plato, and they were very good at what he had to say. But you need a reference point, because if you can't compare what he said and the philosophy of the Greeks, then you don't even really understand. When Paul wrote his epistles, he was actually refuting a lot of Greek philosophy. But a lot of students will say things like, yeah, Plato had some things wrong, but really he was a really smart guy. Now, I know people who are well-read, and they have grounded their children in the Bible and understanding the Reformed faith and understanding what God requires. But too many people end up either in a classical Christian school or even things called classical conversations. And what I've discovered is they are more interested in having this knowledge than using this knowledge for the service of the kingdom. And that's my gripe with it. Is it better than sending a child to a public school? Yes, because if it's going to be Christian school, then there are going to be those standards. But I honestly think that the wave of the future is truly to return education to the home, because that way the parents have to be involved. You see, it's just too easy to send them off and then hope for the best, cross your fingers. But God gives parents a mission, and we're all going to stand before God someday, and he's going to say, so what did you do with the children I gave you?
And you, at the outset of the program, or actually even before we started the interview, you even, which is indicated and hinted at, in the theme of the show, you obviously believe that there is something sorely lacking in even Christian education when it comes to training up the youth to become our leaders of tomorrow. And go through some of those things that you obviously believe need to be improved, need to be totally transformed, need to be scrapped, etc.
Okay. So as I said, a lot of parents got involved with home education for very good reasons. However, their vision usually ended with high school. Some had the vision for higher education. But how many parents said, look, daughter, look, son, God created you, and I see a lot of capability in you, and I really want you to encourage your, I want to encourage you to develop that ability that God gave you. Because you see, if we're going to transform the culture, we're going to need people who are able to stand against the enemy, because the enemy hasn't gone away. You know, the Bible tells us from Genesis that there's a war going on, and too many people don't even know they're involved in a war. They think like, oh, well, we live in a nice neighborhood, and some people will say, oh, my schools are nice and such. But are we training people to take the sword of the spirit and actually go out and transform medicine, transform business, transform law? And I think too many people just want a more improved view of what we have, or even say, let's go back to the way things were. Well, my husband and I were talking recently. Both of us were children of the 60s. You know, the 60s didn't happen in a vacuum. The mission, the task of forwarding the kingdom of God was abandoned before that so that the 60s could happen, and that you have children no longer respecting authority and deciding that, you know, youth knew best. Well, I don't know that we have people who are actually saying and looking at their family and say, look, we have a plan that says how we as a family are going to advance the kingdom and then invest that way.
And there is a difference between grounding children in the scriptures, having them become very acquainted with the teachings of the scriptures, having them become educated to know exactly what honors and glorifies God, how we obey God, how we rebel against God, what sin is. But specifically, when it comes to leadership, what can you tell us about how children can be prepared to be leaders in whatever field they enter into when they get older? There are very horrible anti-biblical models that have existed where you're teaching and training kids to be arrogant. There seems to be an equating between leadership and being proud in a sinful way, and being self-righteous, being cocky, if you will. But those aren't traits of genuine Christian character, nor were they the traits of Christ. So if you could tell us about that.
Sure. First of all, let's just talk about teenagers and adolescents. The Bible doesn't talk about teenagers, or, you know, it doesn't talk about the terrible twos. It doesn't talk about, you know, how kids are. Everybody was held to a standard. And when that standard is taught from the very earliest time that a child enters the home, then you're going to have a different culture. So in very real sense, the family is the first church, the first school, the first business. And as members of the family learn to care for each other and take responsibility, so the older children will care for, not totally like mom and dad go off and do something else, but everybody has a vested interest in seeing that the family's educated, that they're well cared for, and they're given work to do. I think one of the worst things we do is talk about not giving children work. First of all, if you don't give children work, how can they ever get a Sabbath? What do children understand to be their work? So this comes about organically within a household. And so the major professions that children need to be prepared for is that of being a mother and a father, a husband and a wife. Out of those things, being able to care for children, desiring to have children, things like that, then you'll see other aspects of a person's capabilities. I know one family that their son just started studying herbs, and he is sort of the go-to person in their family. If somebody's got an issue or something that needs to be done, they ask him. Other people have become very good at business, and they encourage their children to be part of their entrepreneurial things. So the exposure I have with children raised in homeschool families, and oftentimes, Chris, they're like 7 to 10 to 12 children, they are anything but immature. The 9-year-old is still not ready to lead a family, but everything that's geared in their education says to be ready to serve.
Okay, we have Violet in Lamont, California. And Violet asks, do you think that many people, if not most, have it all wrong by pressuring children and even expecting them to enter into college or university?
That's a good question. You know, when I was growing up, college was not a universal experience for everybody. People went to trade schools, people learned how to do various skills. But what started being promoted on television is to get a good job, get a good education, go to college. And how many times do we hear people saying, I am the first person in my family to go to college? Well, that may be an interesting statistic, but are you a contributing member of society, or are you just someone who has letters after your name? So again, you don't need college to learn, especially today with all the resources that are available. I remember when one of my children was having to learn statistics, and she was in a class in college and she was lost. We turned on YouTube and there were some great teachers who would teach you about that. Well, if you want to learn as opposed to get a credential, then there's wide opportunity for do it. So I think this pressure to force children into higher education and spending a lot of money or going into debt is foolishness. You look back in American history, what college did George Washington go to? What college did Abraham Lincoln go to? Yet these were people who were educated. Whether or not you agreed with their politics or not, that's not the point. The point is they were ready to lead. And so these things have to be something that is instilled in someone early on.
Yeah, Charles Haddon Spurgeon had no formal education. I believe he would have wanted to be seminary educated, but believe it or not, in the 19th century, if you were not Anglican, you couldn't go to seminary. And Charles Spurgeon, being a Baptist, didn't go, although he founded a pastor's college and was a brilliant exegete of the Word of God. Basically, he was self-taught because he was saturated in the Scriptures. He lived and breathed them. But thank you, Violet, for your question. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island. And Ronald asks, could you be honest and give us not only the positive end of homeschooling, but the downside?
Well, as long as we're dealing with life, there are going to be downsides. So one of the downsides is if you don't start from the time your children are young, and let's say they're in grammar school or high school, and you decide, I really want to homeschool, they've already had an environment, and they're going to have this sense that they're missing out. And if you hear most of the complaints that come in terms of homeschooling is, I don't have as many friends. And the apparency, though, is that when you go to school, you have lots of friends. You don't really have lots of friends. You have lots of people who show up at the same place you do, any more than our friends on Facebook are truly our friends, right? I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, you'll know who your friends are when you're not all showing up at the same place at the same time and who stays in touch with you. Those are your friends. So that's a downside. Another downside, I would say, is when the parents are not making themselves students on a regular basis. If you just rely on curriculum and you just rely on a teacher's manual, then really all you're doing is making outside school transferred to your home. And then if you're not thinking through things biblically, I like to say you have a secular curriculum in Jesus' name, amen. So as long as you say that, I guess it becomes Christian. So the curriculum, it needs to be designed so that you are actually imparting truth. So people say, well, what kind of Bible curriculum should I get for my children? I'm not sure you need a Bible curriculum. It could be helpful, but you want to make sure that you understand. And one of the reasons that I think calcedon.edu is such a great resource is that parents can be learning as they're teaching. You have a head start on your children. And so mothers who have, you know, one-year-old, two-year-old, three-year-old, start the process of educating yourself so that you're going to be ready for it. Another downside is that if you're used to two incomes and now one income is going to go away, that becomes difficult, but it's still doable. There's plenty of things we can all cut out of our budget. And if we make our children a priority and then by that, service to the kingdom, I think that God blesses. He blesses obedience.
Amen. Let's see. We have Dale in High Point, North Carolina. And Dale says, you are emphasizing that homeschooling should be based on scriptural teaching. However, there are parents who become Christians later in life, and they may not be all that familiar with the Bible. They're beginning to learn at their churches, if they're faithful churches, but they aren't equipped to be teaching their children about the Bible. What kind of instruction can you give to them and counsel for them when it comes to homeschooling?
Well, I guess I would ask the question, how did people do it in the past? You know, people on the prairie, people as, you know, they were dealing with like the Puritans who came over, the pilgrims, like what did they do? Well, first and foremost, they educated themselves in what God's word said. But we think that we have to, from the time children are what, in grammar school, that we have to go through science. Well, let's talk about science. Most of the science that's taught in state schools is anti-biblical, thoroughly humanistic. So I think, and this is one of the things that I do as part of the ministry of Chalcedon, when people want to get started and they kind of feel the deficits that this caller basically said, it's like we help them along. I can give some immediate resources. The most important thing you're going to start off with homeschooling is making sure your children can read. And you'd be surprised how many people graduate high school and cannot, right? So that has to be a priority.
Amen. And we are going into our midway break right now. And if you would like to join those that have already sent in their questions, we would love to hear from you as well. If you'd like to get in line, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, as always, to give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Andrea Schwartz after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
When
when Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
President of the Securecom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The Securecom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the Securecom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the Securecom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the Securecom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, whenever you buy jewelry from royaldiadem.com, you also give a gift to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because every time one of our listeners purchases jewelry from royaldiadem.com and mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry. 100% simply by mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And that's on top of the monthly financial support that royaldiadem.com automatically provides for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So the owners of royaldiadem.com really love this program and they want it to continue to exist. And if you do too, that's one way you can help. Go to royaldiadem.com today and purchase jewelry, whether it's jewelry they already have in stock or whether you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry designed and created. Whether you're buying jewelry for yourself or someone you love, just mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and we get 100% of the profits. That's royaldiadem.com. Before I return to my conversation with Andrea Schwartz on the question, is our method of Christian education adequately raising up the leaders of our future? I just have some important reminders for you. If you really love this show, folks, and you don't want it to go off the air, I'm urging you, please, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it may be, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. With all this urgent talk of our need for your financial help, I do, however, want to remind you that I never want anybody in my listening audience to give your own church, where you're a member, less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Please never do that. Never dip into the funds that you have specifically set aside, designated for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. But if you do love the show, you don't want it to go off the air, and you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you love the show. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church if you do not currently have one that's biblically faithful, as I have done with many people spanning the entire globe in our audience. Sometimes even finding churches just a couple of minutes from where they live. So if you're without a biblically faithful church home, that may be you too. Just send me an email at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put, "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Andrea Schwartz on Christian education, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. We have a listener from Bill in, let's see, where was that city? That was Dunmore, Pennsylvania. And Bill says, forgive me if you've already answered this, but what are some of the false and even slanderous stereotypes about homeschooling that you could dispel right now?
Yeah, I love handling this one because I've seen the criticism change over the years. When I started, it was like the separation anxiety, you know, you just got to let your kids be. Then it became, don't you want your children socialized? And I would say, actually, I don't want my children socialized. I don't want them to become socialists. That's not what I'm interested in. And I'm not interested in passing along to other children some of my children's bad habits or traits. So I take responsibility for my kids, and all homeschool parents should. Another thing is they won't get a good education. Well, let me tell you, when my kids did go to junior college, the teachers always asked them, where did you go to school? They were not only ready, but they did their assignments. And to really be honest, they weren't stupid. I mean, there were a lot of people who ended up in junior colleges, and the teachers were like, where did you get your education? Right? So they're usually spotted by educators and say, well, these children were educated differently. And then some of the young people that I know have gone on to serve as Supreme Court legal assistants. Others have started their own national and international ministries. So there really is no deficit. The interesting part about the criticism is it usually comes from people who don't know very much or just hate the idea that parents will impart their values to their children. And that's really where it's at. When all is said and done, you won't say, I wish I had gone over trigonometry more with my children. It would be, I wish they understood the value and the blessings that come from obedience to God.
Amen. And there are many people who have been deceived, even people in the body of Christ, who have been deceived into a mindset that there are certain spheres of life that should be specifically in the hands and control of experts. So when you may be having an emotional problem, or you have a loved one who's going through an emotional problem, they're depressed or whatever the case may be, the immediate thought of many, even Christians, is, oh, you've got to send that person to a psychologist. And you could go on and on and on with that professional mentality, and that goes hand in hand with criticisms of homeschooling. Oh, you need professional teachers to do that.
Well, you know, you talk to a lot of professional teachers, and they'll tell you that they went into the profession in order to educate. But one of the things they discover is the students who show up don't want to learn. You can't learn for someone else. You can teach someone else. But the other thing that happens is we tend to think that we have to teach subjects. We don't teach subjects. We teach students. We teach students about subjects. So I'm not saying that there aren't people that don't have issues, but if you have to go outside your church and go to some professional expert to get guidance, then you've missed the value of the fact that every area of life and thought has its roots and understanding in Scripture. So that's why we have shepherds. That's why we have pastors. But too often, these very same people want to send you to the professionals. Well, if the professional doesn't believe in God and his law word, then I wouldn't trust my son or daughter, or even myself, to such a person.
Amen. And since this is the second half of the show, I don't want to let time get away from us too quickly where I overlook some specific areas of importance when it comes to Christian education that you love to talk about, that you are equipped to talk about, that you believe are the things most urgently needed to be known by parents and Christians in general. So why don't you let me know some of those areas that I might be overlooking?
Okay, well, first of all, let me tell you a little bit what my week is like. I do a podcast once a week, but I also teach a class in systematic theology to women, mostly homeschool moms or grandmas. And then on Fridays, I teach a group of young people. And what I stress is that we need to be people of answers. And I always ask my students, tell me the one question you hope no one ever asks you. And they'll tell me, good, go out and find the answer to that question and find it in Scripture. Because if we're supposed to be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us, we ought to know why we believe what we believe. But sadly, Chris, a lot of people don't even know what they're supposed to believe. On my podcast, I brought in people who've talked about things like brain death and assisted suicide and in vitro fertilization. All these things are covered in Scripture. But if you don't know that they're there, and if you don't know where to look, and that you don't appreciate the fact that there is no subject that's neutral, there is no neutrality possible. It's going to be geared towards one worldview or another. And so my hope is that there are people who say, I want to learn more. Well, good. You can reach me at andrea@calcedon.edu. Mention that you heard me on this show, and then we can get in touch and talk about how to help you get started. But I know a lot of people who say, I wish I knew this earlier. Well, God had you know about this now. So let's start from now, not look back and say, oh, regret, and see what God has in mind for your kingdom service, because that's what we're supposed to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. And I think if anything, Chris, that's my greatest joy is when I help people do that, get started, and then they don't need me anymore. I mean, we can be friends, but they don't need me anymore. I want them to be able to rely on God's word to help maneuver the path ahead.
Well, we have Caroline with a K in Renton, Washington. Caroline asks, can you please tell us things that you yourself have personally learned about Christian education and homeschooling over the years in the process of actually doing it?
That's a great question. I learned every time I was running into a difficulty that I had to step back and say, am I doing this to please men or to please God? When I think of all the tears that were shed with one of my children over mathematics, I really regret that we spend so much time upset over these things. You know what? When the time came for her to choose what she wanted to do, she became a nurse and she had to figure out her algebra. Otherwise, patients would die, right? And so instead of making it a burden, learning should be an exciting thing. And yes, we have to admit that sometimes not every student is great at everything. But if you look hard enough and if you pursue a wide berth, you'll find that the student not gifted in language might be very gifted in music and can serve God that way. Other people may have maybe tone deaf, have no pitch, you know, accuracy at all, but they end up being good writers. And so if everything is geared towards how can you manifest the talent that God gave you, you'll spend a lot less time on the stuff that's not as important. So I would say if you're banging heads, maybe it's time to step back and reevaluate and saying, is this for the glory of God or for the glory of me? The first one's infinitely better.
Now, what counsel would you have for parents if they really believe that after giving it the old college try, as the saying goes, where they should say, you know, we're not equipped to be homeschooling? What signs, first of all, would you say that that is a correct conclusion to draw? How soon or how long should parents determine that success in their homeschooling, and what should be their next step?
Well, what's the expression, where there's a will, there's a way? Oftentimes there's not a will. And that's why when people are going to start the whole process, I say, write out a mission statement. What is it you're hoping to accomplish? When you look back and now your children are adults, what do you say, this is what I wanted to accomplish? The implication of that question is that there's somebody out there who's going to tell you you're doing it right or wrong. And that only person that counts for that is God. Now, certainly you can get help from other homeschool families, other people in your church. But it's not like that your obedience in terms of taking responsibility for your children isn't something that's yours, and God will bless it. Now, sometimes there's a death in the family. Mom gets sick or whatever it is. And that's where a church community comes in. I think of all the veteran homeschool moms or all the grandmas out there who are no longer raising children, why can't they help? Why shouldn't they help? After all, the family of God should act like a family. This whole idea that I'm not qualified, I don't know. Were you qualified to have children? If you were qualified to have children, and obviously you have children, then you can become qualified. But if it's a question of I'm tired, I'm anxious, or whatever it is, then you need someone to talk to help you pass that. I've had the opportunity of having people say, look, I have this friend and she's ready to bail out of this. And I say, I'll talk with her. And usually at the end, with a couple of, yes, I know, and we figure what the particular problem is, I always make this standing order. Call me up. I don't care any time of the day or night. I'll get you off the ledge. You will be able to continue doing this because that's what God requires of you, that your children are your responsibility. Get help. I had to get help when I was at an impasse with one of my students. Someone said, I think I could help. He helped with her math issue. And guess what? Came back to me. We were able to get through it. So it's not like you have to do it on your own, but you have to be the manager. You have to be the one that says, this is what God requires.
Okay, we have Livy, and I know I'm going to probably butcher this city name, but Ashwaubenon, Wisconsin. And please forgive me if I mispronounced that. Livy says, do you have either your own video or the video produced by someone you highly respect that is sort of a homeschooling 101 to get people from ground zero launched into homeschooling their children?
Well, if you go to calcedon.edu and you go to the resources section and you either click on videos or podcasts and put my name, you'll see there's a podcast on the basics of homeschooling. You'll see other things that I have done answering those particular questions. There's just a lot out there as well. I've written books that you can either read for free online at calcedon.edu or purchase them either in Kindle format or hard copy. The resources are there. I always tell people, read what I had to say and then contact me, and then we can have some good conversation. There's no real point in me repeating everything I've already written. And like I said, one of the things Calcedon does, because the mission is so important, that all of our resources can be accessed online at no charge. Now, you'll have to read off a screen as opposed to reading a book. But even then, Calcedon always has some sort of sale going on. So you can get these books pretty much close to what it costs us to produce it. So that's what I would suggest. And like I said, Andrea@calcedon.edu is how you reach me. And mentioned that, you know, you were listening to the program and we can set up a time, because time zones sometimes get a little tricky, but we usually work it out.
Now, what things could you warn parents not to do when it comes to homeschooling and when it comes to things in Christian education in general that you want them not to do or to avoid, that kind of thing?
Well, we live in a world that has lots of critics. People on social media who don't know you will criticize you, etc. When you make this decision, don't necessarily advertise it so that all the people who are going to tell you why it shouldn't take place come out of the woodwork. Find a good church. Invest with members of your family, even if family members aren't all that eager to participate or like the idea, include them. And here's a quick story. When I told my dad, who, hey, I'll pay to send your kids to Catholic school, I said, well, Dad, I'm not interested in them going to Catholic school. I'm going to homeschool them. He said, well, the standing offer is there. So what did I do? I involved him in the homeschool. He lived in New York. I was in California. My father was a big advocate for kids using the dictionary. So guess what happened? He would send 20 vocabulary words. They would have to look up the word, write the definition, mail them back, and he gave them $1 a word. Well, if he lived closer, he'd be spending way more money on my kids than that. But when my son wanted a new pair of skates, I don't know, ask grandpa for some more words. In the process, they were building their vocabulary. And then my father would brag to anybody who would listen how his grandchildren were homeschooled. So involve the people in your family. Get them to use their area of expertise. If you live close to your grandchildren, for example, and you know how to fix things and work with tools, teach them that. There's so many things that can happen, and it makes it for an environment where the family gets closer and the children learn real viable skills.
Now, you obviously then don't disagree with parents who have monetary, what's the word I'm looking for?
Restrictions?
No. Monetary motivations to obey them, to do this or that or the other thing. There are parents that go to extremes on that either way. There are some parents who might say, I'm not giving you a nickel for something that you should be already doing as an obedient child. And there are other parents who might bribe their children to do anything and they become spoiled brats. So what about that whole issue?
Well, we never gave allowances. Living in a family, it meant that you participate. But kids could earn extra money if they needed to. And we always instilled that learning was a privilege, not a right. And I still maintain it's a privilege to learn. Nobody's owed it. And there were times when each of my children basically were not doing what they were supposed to do, and they were wasting my time. And because they had gotten birthday money and earned money, I said, okay, I'm going to give you a cut rate. My time is worth $40 an hour. You now owe me $40 because you just wasted an hour of my time. And they were like, wait a minute, you can't take my money. I said, yes, I can. yes, I can, because you know what? If you were going to a private school, I'd be paying tuition. Well, now my time. Now, Chris, I saved that money, gave them another job to do next week where they could earn it back. But they learned that they had the responsibility to participate in this. So my children never lacked for money. My son was Mr. Entrepreneur. He car washing business. He made T-shirts. He did refereed hockey games. So we had them learn early on that they had to participate in the family economy. And my husband, people don't do this anymore because we have internet, but he was a salesman and he used to send out flyers. The kids were the ones who stuffed the envelopes, put the stamps on the envelopes and addressed them and things like that. So we always had them understand that adulthood was where they were heading, but we weren't going to baby them.
Okay. Let's see. We have Jay in Astoria, Queens, New York. And Jay wants to know, when you say that we are to cultivate leaders amongst our children so that they will be bringing biblical truth into leadership in the future, are you saying that everyone is meant to be a leader? Or is there not a wonderful state or role in being a follower? Well, obviously, every Christian is a follower, right? But
exactly.
Well, what do you mean by, in this case, leadership of our future with the equipping our children to become that?
Well, to be a good leader, you have to know how to follow. Because as you pointed out, very few people are always at the top rung of the ladder. But this is what I'm saying, that you can encourage it when they're younger. Older siblings have the responsibility for younger siblings. There was a point at which my children were old enough to do certain things. I still had an overall supervisory role, but I might send them into the grocery store with a list and say, okay, you know, text me when I have to come in and pay. So in other words, I gave them responsibility. They were expected to do things. My daughters had to learn how to make dad's lunch, how to do dad's clothes. And you know what? Sometimes they didn't do the laundry as well as they should, and dad's underwear turned out pink. Well, that's it. Let's not do this again. And, you know, it was like, or they made him a lunch and it didn't taste very good. I said, you know, these are all works in progress. Right. So if you give people opportunity to learn and then to lead when they're younger, give them something to do and let it come from them as well. What's something you would like to do? Okay, let's try it out. Sometimes you fail. Sometimes you don't. But that's part of the learning experience. So when I mean leader, I don't mean that you're the CEO of someplace. Quite frankly, my best training came in terms of motherhood. And when people say you're so competent, I said, well, because as a mother, you have to be competent. You don't really have a choice.
And I'm assuming that in all cases, since you are a Christian woman and you appear to be a very wise and intelligent Christian woman, that whatever realm of leadership that Christians enter into, they have to be servants like Christ, even though he was a leader, and they have to have the wisdom of knowing when they should not be calling the shots or making the decisions in a certain realm, because there is wisdom in knowing your limitations. And so the danger that I believe I even mentioned in the beginning is we do not want to create arrogant snobs, which unfortunately it appears college campuses are flooded with them, as we see from some of the public protests that go on. And not only are they everywhere, but when you see these people and hear them being interviewed, so many of them are absolute morons. And they couldn't even really articulate what they claim they are protesting.
So I don't think we have to train arrogance or pride. I think that kind of comes with the fall. And everybody may manifest it slightly differently. That's one of the beauties of being responsible for what's happening in your home. There's a lot to be said for the fact that you want your children to manifest those things that aren't correct so that you can correct them. Good example. I've had parents say, I don't know what to do. I keep telling my children not to go into the refrigerator, but they do it. So what I've done is I've put a lock on the refrigerator so they can't get in. I'm like, you put a lock on the refrigerator? How about getting them to obey you? Right? Well, I can't get my child to do this or that. Well, okay, at 4 years old, you should be able to get your child to do it. If he doesn't learn now, add 10 years, and now there's the car keys. Do you really want to have to handle it then? So we have to, as parents, battle our own pride and arrogance. And that's something I had to deal with, Chris, because I was going to have the best academic students. I was going to have children that just never rebelled or disobeyed. Well, God had other plans. And I had to eat humble pie a lot of times and saying, well, in the past, I might have blamed a parent for what this child did. Am I going to blame myself for what my child did? And so I guess the biggest takeaway is I didn't save myself. God chose me. God called me and I responded. And I cannot save my children. God has to have a call on their life. Now, I tell them, keep your ears open. He's not going to leave a message with me. It's not like you. I'm going to say voicemail. God said you should do this or that. So training them how to hear God. And the surest way not to hear God is to be prideful, arrogant, and sinning, because it blinds you. And you talked about moronic people. I'm convinced, Chris, sin makes you stupid.
Yes, it does. And I think it was Albert Einstein who said that the definition of insanity is to continue doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. And you have a lot of proud people out there who are doing that very thing and remaining in their ignorance.
Well, I don't like his definition because it's certainly not a biblical one. The Bible talks about the fool. And the fool is insane because the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Can you get more insane than that? Can you get more insane than that?
Yep. And of course, the scriptures warn that pride cometh before the fall.
Yep.
And it never will wind up with a good outcome. We had a woman on the show not long ago who her church offers a what they call a micro school,
mm-hmm.
where homeschooling parents will take their children either once a week or I can't remember right now how often they do this, but they will take the children to the church building for a period of time for specific lessons and instruction that the children gather together. And it's like a micro school, and then they return back to their own homeschooling routine. Is that something that you advocate?
Well, years ago, we called it homeschooling co-ops, and okay. I had my children participate. Then it got talked about as homeschooling hybrid schools. Micro schools came about, interestingly enough, after COVID, when people realized, number one, their kids didn't have access to education. And they found out how bad their schools actually were. So I'm all for parent participation. But one of the things you have to be sure of is that you know the terrain. So, for example, back when my kids were involved in co-ops, a dad who was an engineer, he would teach the science class. I was always tapped for the public speaking or writing class. But there are going to be differences in theological perspectives. And this is where the parents have to respect each other and then set up boundaries. So different people of different Christian persuasions will want certain things not covered. And I think that's legitimate. I would never have a homeschooling co-op class in theology. I don't think that everybody's going to have the same theological perspective. So there's got to be a basic respect. And I do think, do not make it where you're just dropping your kids off and like, okay, now I can go to the spa or now I can do my grocery shopping in peace. There's got to be parent participation. Otherwise, you're just doing a bad representation of something else and or a better representation of something else, I should say. But you're still not bearing the responsibility you have as a parent if you're not actively involved.
Now, you say you would never advocate a micro school class that was teaching theology. Well, wouldn't that make perfect sense to do that if the vast majority, if not all of the children in this micro school were members of the same church?
Well, Chris, I don't know about you, but not everybody who goes to the same church always thinks the same way on certain things. I mean, ideally, we all should, and we all get to heaven. I don't think there'll be theological debates. I think, you know, the presence of the Lord will clear up a lot of things. But I think the potential is that if you're not understanding, especially when children are younger, if you don't understand what it is they're being exposed to, you won't necessarily be able to say, oh, okay, are we going to run into a problem later? If it's a subject like arithmetic, I don't think it's too dangerous to have somebody else teaching the arithmetic. But your child should never get the sense that you're having them do something that you can't do. I used to make a requirement. This is back in the days when people read newspapers, that my students had to get published in a letter to the editor. I don't care how you do it. You just have to get published. And the parents will say, oh, I've never done anything like that. My question was, why not? Why not? Or I know I want my child to read, but I don't read myself. Well, then they're never going to think it's valuable if they don't see you doing what you ask them to do. So it's my perspective that you have to be on top of it, but definitely use the resources that are around and not having to micromanage. But then if your child has been at this micro school, take some time when they come home and say, tell me what you learned today. What were the discussions about? Did you have any disagreements with what the teacher was saying, and flesh it out?
Okay, well, we've got to go to our final break. And this is your last opportunity, if you have a question of your own, to submit it. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, president and professor of systematic and homiletical theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Thank you.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
And folks, never forget that this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call my longtime, very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law at 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, I want to remind men in ministry leadership, you are all invited
to my next free biannual Iron Trip and Zion Radio Pastor's Luncheon on Thursday, March 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. The keynote speaker for the second time at my luncheons will be my very dear friend since 1996, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, planter of Reformed Baptist churches all over the African continent, and founding chancellor of African Christian University. He is one of the most highly sought-after conference speakers in the world, and I can truly say without hesitation and without fear of sinning with hyperbole and flattery that he is one of the most powerful preachers alive on the planet Earth. And if you would like to attend this free pastor's luncheon, if you're a man in ministry leadership, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. Everything is free of charge. Your admission, your meal, your opportunity to hear Dr. Mbewe preach in person. And also, on top of that, everybody in attendance gets a heavy sack, possibly two heavy sacks of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. So send that registration to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. The night before the luncheon, Wednesday, March 4th, at 7 p.m., Dr. Mbewe will also be preaching at my church, where I'm a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. This is open to everyone, men, women, and children. And for more details on how to get to Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, go to trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle.org. And we have Craig in Neptune Beach, Florida. And Craig says, have you heard very stern rebukes from people who have tried homeschooling and failed miserably?
Not at all, actually. You know, it's funny. I started homeschooling in the early, 80s. By the end or close to, well, the early part of the 2000s, people, when I told them I was homeschooling, congratulated me. They're like, wow, you're a better person than I am. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm just more dedicated maybe than you are, or more obedient. But when it comes right down to it, more people see the need for it. The only people who are saying, oh, this is going to be an inferior education have not really researched it, especially when state schools are turning out such terrible products.
Well, in about 2 minutes' time, if you could summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Thanks. I want people to know that God has given us a mission as parents, as families, and that it should be our desire to serve him fully, not spreading the whole family out, having families work together, even if you're not in the same geophysical location, that what we're supposed to do is further God's kingdom. And there are lots of ways to do that, but mostly with the understanding that we don't need a whole lot more than what the Bible has told us. Sure, there'll be commentaries, people who will be able to steer you in certain directions. But if we are going to obey that great commission, we have to be equipped to then teach and disciple and have the vision that says the next generation will come and proceed with pressing the crown rights of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, if anybody listening wants to find out more about Andrea's work, her books, her podcast, the Out of the Question podcast, and anything else she has to offer, go to chalcedon.edu, chalcedon.edu. I want to thank you so much, Andrea, for being such a wonderful guest. I look forward to you returning to the program. I want to thank everybody who listened today. especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your entire lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. I look forward to hearing from you with your questions on our next episode of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. God bless.